Let's look at a scripture and then go on from there. Luke chapter number 16. And let's start from verse number 10. Okay. Luke chapter number 16, verse number 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. So God will never give you big things first. You know, big house first, big car first. God will never give you big things. He will give you small things. And if you are faithful with the small, he will start to increase you. That's what Jesus is saying. The next one, verse 11. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? That scripture, I have seen it so true in the lives of people. And in my experience, I have seen that scripture to be true, because I have seen people who, many people, you know, many 10, 20 of people I have met who want to do ministry. You know, brother, I want to do ministry. I want to do ministry. Even people elder than me, around 50 years, 45 years old, come to me. They don't have a ministry, but they say, I want to do ministry. They don't realize that they just want to start off ministry, but that does not happen. Before God gives a person a ministry to handle, God will place that person in another ministry to take care of another person's ministry, to be a steward under someone else. You understand that? It says, if you are not faithful in what was others, how will you will be faithful in what is your own? David, before he became the king, God placed him under King Saul. Though King Saul was, you know, so bad and unrighteous, but he stayed under authority. God placed him under Samuel, King Saul. God placed him under other kings also. Before he became a king, no one, before Joseph became the prime minister, became the leader, became the one whom no one can voice against. Before he became that, he was placed under so many jurisdictions. He was under his father. He was under Potiphar. He was under the jailer. He was in the prison. So God tests the faithfulness and give other people. So you will work for those people. You will be under those people. I never had a ministry. I wanted to do a ministry, but God kept me from ministry for 11 years of my life. I served other people faithfully. For 11 years, and after 11 years, God said, okay, now I give you. So, any which ways, but the verse number 11 says, if you are not faithful to unrighteous mammon, so who will commit to you the true riches? So, our handling of mammon, how we handle finances, that decides, that Jesus is saying that, that decides whether God will give us the true riches of heaven, the spiritual riches, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It depends on how we treat mammon. So we have to understand how to handle mammon, how to handle unrighteous mammon. Hallelujah. Are we together? So when I am exposing mammon, the people should not get afraid. Oh, we cannot become rich. We cannot be. No. God wants you to be rich, but under certain conditions and in certain ways and through a system that God has introduced for his children to become rich. So I want to teach you tonight how to handle mammon. And even as we go into the teaching of how to handle and treat mammon, we will go how to be a godly rich man. Even as we go on that path. Hallelujah. I am not a prosperity preacher. Oh, God only wants. No. That is mammon preaching. We will go in the direction of the scriptures and the revelation, and we will see how God makes a person rich. Hallelujah. How God makes a person rich. How to handle mammon. The secret. Okay, I started off last night. Sunday night, last week. And I told you the secret to handle mammon is godliness with contentment. Write it down first. Godliness with contentment. First Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 4 to 10. Let's not go there, we will go there afterwards. Godliness with contentment. Now, I need to interpret that scripture. Godliness with contentment is a great gain, the Bible says. And when I was asking the Lord, Lord, how to teach them? I know it, but how to put in the teaching, how to explain things? The Lord said, simply, I will give you a secret. Tell them one thing. How to handle mammon is by godliness with contentment is the way you handle mammon. And that is how God started to teach me the revelation to handle and to treat mammon. Godliness with contentment. Godliness with contentment. Now, many people interpret that contentment as, oh, no, don't buy clothes. Oh, don't eat delicious food. Don't go here. Don't travel there. Be content. Don't live nicely. Save. That is contentment. Be content, you know, wear the old clothes. That is not contentment. Many pastors interpret that contentment that way. That is not the revelation of the contentment Apostle Paul is talking about. And in as much, the contentment it is talking about is related to saving up and piling up of riches. Some people, how much ever they save, they still want to stay save. They still want to save. Remember the parable Jesus said of the rich fool? 1 year of his in his field, the harvest was plentiful. So he saw the harvest and said, oh, I have a lot of harvest. So let me store all the harvest in my storehouse. And for the rest of my life, I will eat and drink. I have enough savings. I will save, not use it. And the Lord came and told him, you fool, if tomorrow your soul will be taken away from you, what you will do with your riches? Why not use it? Hallelujah. Contentment is you should not only store, but say, but use it as per the instruction of God. If your wife does not has a new dress, she has not, go take your money, buy her a dress. God wants you to use the money. Be content with the savings. Are we together? Stay with me. We will go to the scriptures. Hallelujah. Be content with... People are not content. Oh, I have built an empire of $1 million. I want to save more. I want to see things in my bank account. No. Be content. Start using it. And I have seen families. I have seen husbands who have a lot of money, but still don't buy clothes. Still don't buy gifts for them. What you will do with all that money? Be content. Godliness with contentment. Be content. Be content in the place. Be content in the house that God has given you. Be content in the ministry God has given you. Be content in everything of life. That is how you will treat mammon. Be content. Now I want to teach that from the life of Abraham. Hallelujah. Are we together to go in that revelation? How many of you want to learn tonight how to handle money, how to handle finances, how to handle property, how to handle, in other words, mammon? How many of you are ready to learn that? Godliness with contentment. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go now to Genesis chapter number 12. We will learn that from the life of Abraham. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 12. And let's start from verse number 9. Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 9. So Abraham journeyed, going on still towards south. So this is after verse number 8, where Abraham built an altar at Bethel, and he called on the name of the Lord. That is where he was supposed to stop and wait on the Lord, but he got anxious. He started traveling to the south, and there was a, verse number 10, famine in the land. And Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. Okay, hallelujah. Listen to me. When you are in the presence of God, when you are at Bethel, when you are at the altar, may famine come, may lack come, be content and train your mind, train yourself to be content in every situation and depend on the Lord. Don't go out from the presence of the Lord seeking help from the system of mammon. So that is what Abraham did. He was not content at the place of prayer. Are we together? He was not content at the place of prayer. He said, I built an altar to the Lord. I sacrificed to the Lord. Nothing is happening here. Famine is coming here. So let me travel to Egypt to borrow some money. Yeah, that's why he went to Egypt. Let me go travel to Egypt to borrow some stuff. Not money, but material wealth. Goats and sheep and servants, maids and all those stuff. Are we together? So Abraham, even being chosen by God, he is getting diverted. A godly man can be diverted. Okay, we will come to that. A godly man can sin. He's not a perfect person. All right. But why he is getting diverted and why he is sinning? Because he has not yet matured in the Lord. After having experience of walking with the Lord after some time, you will see a change in Abraham. You will see contentment in Abraham. And when he starts to get contented, when he starts to show contentment with the things that God has given him, he starts to become influential and rich and powerful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, stay with me. So this place, this is the immature Abraham. He's not contented. Oh, I'm praying. You know what? I'm doing this. Some people decide to stop praying and start searching out business and work, cut off on their prayer time because I have been praying. This is no good, you know. I'm literally telling you, some people say, oh, I have been attending meetings, these teachings. I don't want to waste my time. I want to go and do business. I want to go and do this. This is not working. Christians do that. That is not contented in the things you have. Be contented. God is watching over you. When the time comes, he will give you. So Abraham was not contented. And then he went to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. So he went to Egypt. Verse number 11. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Okay, let's skip all those things. He told Sarai to say to the Egyptians that she is not the wife, she is the sister. Okay, let's skip all those things and let's jump to verse number 15:15. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. Okay. Verse number 16, he treated Abraham well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servant, female donkeys, and camels. Okay, now listen to me. There is a difference when you get rich through the system of mammon and when you get rich by the system of God. When you get rich by the system of mammon, you have to give them something. There is a trading that happens. When you get rich in the system of God, you don't have to trade anything. God graciously gives you without taking anything from you. Are we understanding? But in the system of mammon, we will come to that when we go deeper into the revelations. All right? When you come into the system of mammon, he said, the Bible says, they took Sarai from him and then gave him what? Camels and donkeys and male and female servants. So he acquired wealth from Egypt. That wealth did not give him peace or joy. So going forward, verse number 17, it says, the Lord plagued Pharaoh in his house and with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. After this that happened with Abraham, Abraham realized that he has sinned. Okay? Because he saw the mercy of God in his mistake. He saw the mercy of God in his wrongdoing towards the Lord. He saw, even though I did wrong, I left the place of prayer, I came to Egypt, acquired things, my wife could have been taken away, but God showed mercy on me. I have learned my way. And that's why Genesis chapter number 13 it says, Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. When you research that verse, I have got revelation, but I wanted to research with Bible commentaries. Almost all the Bible commentators told that richness that Abraham's richness that is mentioned there, it is the richness that he acquired from Egypt. That was not the richness of God. But now he's stepping into the richness of God. Now see what happens. Verse number 3. And he went on his journey from south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. That verse itself says that Abraham's backsliding was healed and he returned back to the place of prayer. And I assume, and it can be true, what Abraham was praying, calling on the name of the Lord, Lord, I got diverted, but here I come. And now I learn to be content here at Bethel. I will not go anywhere. I learn to be content here at Bethel. I am contented. I am satisfied with whatever is there, but I will not leave this place and go elsewhere, to the beautiful places, to the places that are rich and that can give me money. I will not go there. I will stay here at Bethel. Hallelujah. 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 Listen to me. You are surrounded by established mammonic systems. Don't look at them. Don't look at them. They have money more than you. They have wealth more than you. But God has chosen you to start off a system through you, through scratch. God wanted Abraham to establish and to initiate the system of heaven, the system of God from scratch. So in the beginning, God is testing, pruning, and equipping this man. In the beginning, you will be having lack. You will have many problems. But don't look at the other system and think, I will go and borrow from the system. No, you are not a borrower. You are a lender. God will make you establish your own system under his authority. And you will lend to Egypt. You will lend to Babylon. You will release things to the people of the world. Because you are not a borrower. You are a lender. Everyone say, I am a lender and not a borrower. I am a giver and not a borrower. Hallelujah. Do we understand that?
I am a lender, not a borrower. I'm a giver and not a borrower.
Amen. God, you have to, you know, that is what is the problem with Christians. Anything comes, they want to run to that system, this system, that. No. Stay in the place of prayer. God is doing something with you. And if you submit to the training of God, the system that he will make through you will be bigger and more powerful than the Egyptian systems. That is what happened with Joseph. I will come to that. Stay with me tonight. Joseph, one man, could subdue the system of Egypt, introducing a new system to which the Egyptians and the God and the Pharaoh, everyone had to bow down. That is richness that comes from God. Hallelujah. Stay with me. Are we together now? So he went back to the place of prayer. So the first point about godliness with contentment is from the example of Abraham. The first point is Abraham learned from his mistake after his error of going down to Egypt and seeing God in his mercy saving him and his wife's life. So that is the first thing that happened to Abraham. He saw the mercy of God. He learned from his error and he went back to Bethel at the place of prayer and he stayed there. The next thing I want to tell you is a godly man who fears God does sin, does get diverted, does doubts, but submits to the learnings of God and mends his ways accordingly. That is godliness. A godly man, what did I say? A godly man who fears God does sin, does get diverted, does doubt, but submits to the learnings of God and mends his ways accordingly. That means the godly man that you saw yesterday, he will not be the same today. Today you will see renewing in him. Today you will see transformation in him. He will not be like the person he was yesterday. Every day, he will change and mend his ways according to the mistakes and the sins that he detects in himself. He will repent and get it right with God, bring changes to his character, bring changes to his mindset, bring changes. That's why the Bible says the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God with man is like the rising of the sun. It starts off in the morning, and by noontime, it gets ever brighter, shiny. Have you seen the sun rising? It rises from the east. And it takes time until it comes to perfection. The light shines ever brighter. So that is how the righteousness of a righteous man rises. Hallelujah. He submits his life to God and he evaluates his actions. A man who does not see his sins, a man who does not evaluate his own life in the light of God, cannot move ahead with God. But Abraham was not like that. He learned from his mistake. He went back to the altar at Bethel. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, verse number 5. Now, this is important. Listen to me. Verse number 5. Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Now, the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Now, another situation like the previous situation. Listen to me. The previous situation, nothing was happening. Nothing was happening. There was a famine. So Abraham ran away from the presence of God to Egypt. Another situation came where the possessions increased now, and both their possessions were so much that the land was not able to support them. There were not enough resources. See Abraham. Abraham did not say, I will run again to somewhere else. No. He stayed there. And now look at his attitude. Look at the change in his thinking. Now let's look at the change in his attitude. Let's look at the change in his dealing now. Okay? Like last time, whenever there was a problem encountered, this time there were no resources to support, you know, food to feed their sheep and camels and whatever. No resources. The land could not support. So Abraham was not like, I will get up and run away. No. Abraham was there. And what happened? Verse number 7. There was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in that land. So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. Hallelujah. I will stay in the presence of God in this land, but you can separate from me. And what he said, you can separate from me. If you take the left, I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right and I will go to the left. Listen to me. What he means to say is, I have no attachment to the property and to the things of the world whatsoever. I am content in what I have. Lot, I am content. So if you take that, I will take another one. I have no claim on any land, on any property whatsoever. I am content with what God has given me. Do you see that? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Are we understanding that? I'm teaching you the secret to handle mammon. Abraham became rich, but let's see how he became rich. It is by the way of God. It is by the way of God. It was not like the normal rich people of the world, proud and arrogant and boasting in their riches. Abraham was different. Abraham got rich with the secret of godliness with contentment. Hallelujah. Do you know the number of Christians who fight over properties? I'm not saying don't take your property. Take what belongs to you, but the way they behave. I need to get it. Hallelujah. Listen to me. So many people have been taught, I call my angel with $200. I call my angel with $1,000. I call in my car. That is witchcraft. I will tell you that. You don't call in mammon. Mammon comes and bows down to you. That is where God will place you. Don't talk with mammon. Don't have any interaction with mammon. But the church is teaching people. People get up 4 in the morning. And you know what they pray? I call in my job. I call in my money. I call in this. I call in that. Nonsense. The Bible does not record all such prayers. What God wants to do with your life is, God wants to place you at a place that mammon, and give you something that mammon cannot produce. And when you will start to produce that thing, mammon will come to you. Hallelujah. Stay with me. Stay with me. That's how Joseph became rich. That's how Daniel was a rich man. He did not call mammon. He did not. They did not want it to be rich, but they became rich. Because anyone who walks with God becomes rich in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can everyone shout amen? If you are there, say amen and let's go ahead. Oh God. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me. So he said, if you go to the left, verse number 9, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left. And Lot, now listen to this verse. Verse number 10. Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. Underline that, please. Like the what? Land of Egypt. Like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Hallelujah. So, what I want to tell you is, when Lot lifted up his eyes, he saw a territory. He saw a land which looked like the land of Egypt. So the temptations did not change, but Abraham changed. The land of Egypt was still before Abraham. Are you able to understand what I am saying? Like previously, there was a famine. He looked up and he saw, there is the beautiful land of Egypt filled with riches and money. Let me run towards Egypt. Okay? This time, again, he encountered a problem. Again, there was the land that looked like Egypt, green and lush and beautiful. But this time, Abraham said, my help does not come from that Egypt. My help comes from the Lord. I will stay at the altar. Contentment. Contentment. So the temptations will remain the same. You will say, oh God, you know what, God? You know, I am tempted. I am attacked. The attacks will not reduce, beloved. The temptations will not reduce. It will be the same. You have to change. You have to make yourself stronger against the temptation. So the temptation remained the same. There was still the land of Egypt. But Abraham changed. This time he said, I am not going anywhere. I am staying here. You want to go? You go. So this time it was Lot who gave in to temptation. He saw a land which was Sodom and Gomorrah, lush and green. You see this contentment now? Are we understanding contentment? He said, I don't want to go there. That is how a godly man is. Mammon tries to show him picture. And Mammon tries to offer him and bring him under Mammon. But he says, I am contented with what God. I have a house. I have a small house, whatever. I am contented. I am satisfied. Whatever money, however I am living, I am satisfied. I will continue to live in this system with whatever I have. Contentment. Godliness with contentment is how you treat mammon. Hallelujah. Are we together? So there was a land in front of him. So what I want to say is, Abraham, this time while separating from Lot, did not do the same mistake. He did not choose the land that looks like Egypt. Instead, he chose to be content with what he has and stay in God's will. Hallelujah. People of God, learn to do that. What is preached in churches today is not godliness with contentment. What is preached in churches today is chains that are pulling you towards mammon. Oh, you are a Christian and you don't have a Lamborghini. You don't have a Ferrari. See, I have a Ferrari. I have a Lamborghini. I have this. So you need to have it. Oh, you need to have it. Call your Lamborghini. Call your this. Call your angel. No angel will come with $1,000 to you. I'm telling you. If someone comes with $1,000 to you, it is a demon. It's not an angel. The angels of God will not deal in your US dollars. It will deal with the sword of the Spirit. That is what the angels don't. Show me in the Bible where angels carried currency notes. The angels carry the sword of the Spirit. That is the word of God. The angel carry the armory of God. So whoever taught you call in your money, it is demonic. It is not in your Bible. I will teach you God's ways. I will teach you God's ways to be rich. Godliness with contentment. Stay with God. Stay with God. Stay with Him. There is a famine. Be contented. I know, Lord, you will never kill me here. I will have food even in the famine. I will stay in your presence. Yeah. That place looks beautiful. That church is calling me saying, you know, so many, when we were growing in the Lord, when I was a young man, I used to minister. There were so many people calling my mother. We were in financial lack and all those stuff. There were so many people, so many. One lady who brought my mother into Christ, she joined the Seventh-day Adventist. They worship on the Sabbath and all those stuff. They used to call, you come in our church. Our church will give you a job. Our church will give free education. Our church will give you this. We never went there. We never went into those cult systems. We said, whatever it is, we will stay here in the presence of the Lord. We will not move from this place because God is doing something with us. Hallelujah. Godliness with contentment. Godliness. There is the spirit of greed that is invading the hearts of people in the church through the teaching, the kind of teaching they are getting, the kind of prayers they get at 4 in the morning until 8 in the... They say, we are doing morning prayers. All their prayers are, I call in job, I call in car, I call in this, I call in the breakthrough, I call in this. In one of the churches, 90% of the requests are Canada and US visa. All of them want a Canada visa or a US visa. All these Indian people. We want the visa, we want the visa, we want the visa. Have you first of all asked God whether God wants you to go there? No, we want the visa. And the pastor brings the papers, application papers, lays hands. Lord, I release visa. Really, I receive my visa. That is mammon. That is mammon. That is mammon. Stay in the presence of God. When time comes, He will send you to whichever place He wants to send you. Stay there. Stay there. Stay there. Don't go to Egypt. Don't borrow things. Don't borrow things. Don't borrow things. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Most of the Christians who are in debts, I tell them, don't borrow. Don't keep on asking money. Stay in the presence of God. Stay in the presence of God. You need to know your identity. When you operate like that, God is your provider. Maybe you are in lack. Maybe supernatural things will not happen. They think, oh, someone will drop down. Nothing. I'm telling you these things because when my family came to Christ, there were heavy attacks on my family. My family was in debts. And I'm telling you, no supernatural, no one dropped $1,000 or $2,000 or $10,000 in my account. It, even as I learned to depend and lean on the chest of Jesus, Jesus taught me everything. Hallelujah. He taught me the ways. Are we understanding? Don't run to Egypt thinking, oh, we will, that's a fast result. No. Stay in the presence of God. The results may be slow, but it is powerful. It is eternal. It is permanent. Hallelujah. There is no yoke attached to it. Are we together? So do we see Abraham still? The land, like the land of Egypt was before him. But this time, the scenery, the greenery, the mammon did not move his heart. He said, I will stay in the presence of the Lord at the altar of God. Lot, whichever place you want to choose, you take it. So if you go to the right, I have no attachment to property whatsoever because I know this God that has chosen me will make me rich. I will not become rich with my ancestral property. I will not become rich with people giving me money. I will become rich by this God. I will not become rich by Egypt. I will become rich by this God who has chosen me. Hallelujah. No attachment to whatsoever. He was content with the things God had given him. Hallelujah. And then Abraham chose that Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse number 11, Genesis 13, verse number 11. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain. Sorry, Lot chose for himself Sodom and Gomorrah. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. That was the will of God, by the way. Then Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Did God give him money? No. Did God, the money was not there. Let's leave money. Did God give him goats and sheep and wealth and mammon? No. God gave him the word. A clear word. A clear word. After he showed contentment. God is waiting for you. God is waiting for you. He wants to see contentment in you. When he sees contentment in you, he will release revelations to you. When he sees you handling mammon in the right way, he will release his word, his plans to you. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, his plan and his promise is far more valuable than any money in the world. Hallelujah. He will release his word to you. As soon as he was contented and the Lord separated, God told him, look southward, eastward, northward, westward, all the land that you see, I give to your descendants. It's more larger than Egypt. It's more larger than Babylon. It's more larger than the car you are craving for. It's more larger than the lifestyle that you desire in your flesh. God's plan is larger and bigger than that, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Again, point number four. Again, Abraham showed contentment in what the Lord had given him by rejecting the offer of the king of Sodom. In Genesis chapter number 16, verse number 21 to 24. And immediately after that, God spoke to him and said, God is his reward. Let's see that. So Abraham's journey was a journey of godliness with contentment. And Abraham became one of the most richest and influential men. Kings feared him. Let's see another scripture in Genesis chapter number 16. Genesis chapter number 16. Verse number 21. Now if you read the background of Genesis chapter number. Genesis chapter number 16. Genesis chapter number 14. Sorry about that. Genesis chapter number 14. If you read the background about Genesis chapter number 14, you know that Abraham fought five kings, five kingdoms with his 318 household servants. You know that, right? What is the meaning of household servant? They don't know to use the sword and the spear and the shield. Household servants means they know how to wash utensils, dishwashing, and cleaning the house. Those were the household servants. So he took 318 of the household servants in verse number 14. And he went to fight five kings. Now, I have preached this revelation long time back. There was a war between four kings and four into five. The four kingdoms at Sodom and Gomorrah. The other five kingdoms was a mixture of human and demonic kingdoms. I don't have time to show that. And God, so these five kingdoms, remember God told, before this, God told Abraham that I want to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. The wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? So God wanted to take jurisdiction upon Sodom and Gomorrah, wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. After God released that word, what happened is, these five kingdoms came to take over Sodom and Gomorrah. And let's see Genesis chapter number 14. Let me show you that and then come back. Genesis chapter number 14, verse number 1. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of the nations. I don't have time and content to show you that. These are the five kings, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That they made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar. All this joined together in the valley of Siddim, that is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him came and attacked the Rephaim in Ashtoreth Karnaim, the Zuzim in Ham, the Emim in Shavakarthiam. Okay, let's skip all those things. Let's come to verse number one. Back to verse number one. There is one king called Tidal, king of the nations. Even Bible commentators are not able to locate who is Tidal and who is king of the nations. That is a spiritual king that was there in the army. So to cut the long story short, what was happening is, this demonic powers wanted to take over Sodom and Gomorrah because they wanted to keep the wickedness of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. So they wanted to take over. But God intervened and did not let them win the war so that God can come afterwards and destroy, perform his word of destroying Sodom and Gomorrah so that the wickedness can be destroyed. Hallelujah. You see, spiritual warfare operates through territories. The highest level of spiritual warfare is territories. The devil wants to take over nations and does not want God's word to intervene in those nations. That is what this five kings were doing to Sodom and Gomorrah. Any which ways. So listen to me. The battle, I want to show you that the battle that Abraham was fighting was okay for rescuing Lot, his nephew, because they captured him with Sodom and Gomorrah. But also it was, the battle belonged to the Lord. Because God wanted to keep these nations from taking over Sodom and Gomorrah so that God can perform his word and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Are we understanding? Okay, so that is what I want to show you. The battle belonged to the Lord. So Abraham fought with 318 servants. Okay, and it says that Abraham fought with that servants. Verse number 15. Genesis 14, verse number 15. He divided his forces against them by night. And he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheba, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with Chedorlaomer, the five kingdoms. So Abraham defeated five kingdoms. How is it to defeat five kingdoms with 318 people? Because the heaven's army was fighting on behalf of Abraham. That is what I want to tell you. Okay, I'm not telling in detail. There are my previous sermons in which I have taken this Genesis chapter number 14. So I don't have time today to go in detail, show you the meaning of the kings and all those stuff. But know this, that this was a war that God wanted to win. Hallelujah. Because God did not want these demonic spiritual kings to take over Sodom and Gomorrah so that God afterwards will not be able to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Because devil, what he does is, he wants to take over kingdoms and not allow God's purposes to manifest there. That is what Nebuchadnezzar was doing. Remember, he did not want God's purposes to manifest. So he built a golden idol. I told you about that. The whole gold idol, because after Daniel interpreted the dream that the gold kingdom, the head, will not stay for long. It will be destroyed. Afterward, another kingdom will come. So in front of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar was, oh, wow, Daniel, I appreciate your interpretation. Your God is God. But afterwards, his ego was hurted. He said, he consulted with all the witchcraft people and said, what to do? They said, your gold head, we will make a whole idol of gold and make everyone worship so that we can reverse the promises of God. That is what witchcraft is made for. That is what sorcery is made for. Divination is made for, to hinder the promise of God. So these were demonic kings who wanted to take over Sodom and Gomorrah so that the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah will not be destroyed by the third heaven's army. Are we together? So the battle that Abraham was fighting was for God primarily. He was fighting for God. And that's why he could defeat the army with just 318 household servants. If God is fighting on your behalf, even you are a family of two or three or four, and you are fighting with legions of demons, but if God's army is on your behalf, your small family will be able to defeat legions of demons, because God is fighting on your behalf and you are fighting God's battles and not your battles. That is the revelation. Are we together? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen to me. Stay with me. Verse number 18. Then after he brought all the spoils, all the goods. Okay. Now verse number 18. Someone came in verse number 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. Now, why did Melchizedek came? Melchizedek was the high priest of heaven. There is a tabernacle in heaven. I told you that. The tabernacle that Moses made was exactly the copy of the tabernacle in heaven. Who is Melchizedek? Melchizedek is the high priest of heaven. That's why he brought bread and wine. So the first communion was not done in the New Testament. It was done in the Old Testament. Abraham, that's why he's the founder of faith. He is the initiator of revelations of heaven. Hallelujah. He brought bread and wine to do communion with Abraham. Why he came down? Because this agent, this human agent on earth, the representative of God, won a battle for God. That's why he came to greet Abraham. Are we understanding? So what happened there? Listen to me. What happened there? He said, it says he brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he, what happened? He gave him a tithe of all. You see, now tithe is not Old Testament. Tithe is a revelation of the tabernacle in heaven. Did the question I want to ask you is, did Abraham receive any teaching of tithe? No. Who was there to teach him about tithe? He gave tithe by revelation. He got a revelation. What was the revelation? The revelation was the battle that I just fought. It's impossible for me to defeat five armies. I did not win the battle. Actually, God won the battle. So the proceeds out of the battle should go to God. That is the revelation of tithe. So when you give tithe, you're not saying, God, I'm giving it to you, I want a breakthrough. No, you are not saying that. You are saying that my whole salary or whatever I'm getting, everything belongs to God. God gave it to me. So I take the proceeds and give it back to God. That is tithe. That was the revelation of tithing. Are we understanding? By the way, godliness, the person who follows godliness with contentment will never hold back what belongs to God. He will continue because he knows, I am content. If I give so much, he will not say a little is remaining. Oh, I gave more. I gave this. No. Because he is a godliness with contentment following man. Are we understanding? That is one of the system. That is one of the things in the system of God. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So Abraham came to the realization, I did not win this battle. This God won this battle for me, whom I serve. And here is the representative of God came, and I will give him the tithe. Do we understand that? Okay, let me not go into that. Let me come after that. So he gave a tithe. Now the king, verse number 21, now the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. Except only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. So he did not take anything from this king of Sodom. The reason he told, I am not taking anything from you because tomorrow you will lay claim on my richness. So I don't want anything from you. My God can make me rich. Keep your money to yourself. Genesis chapter number 15. Immediately after that, Genesis 15, verse number 1. And these things, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. The day you start to be content and satisfied and reject mammon, God is coming to you and telling you, do not be afraid. I am your reward. What more do you want there? Hallelujah. Are we understanding this? I am teaching you contentment at every stage of life. Abraham showed contentment. Do we understand that? Do we now understand how to treat mammon? Godliness with contentment. Godliness with contentment. You don't show that you are poor. Some believers always cry, oh, I have this, I don't need, I need that, I need this, I need that. Stop crying. What do you think? If you will tell 20, 25 Christians, you are poor, that you will become rich? No. You are going down. Stop telling about your lack to people, advertising about those things to people. Stop being a poor and a beggar attitude person. Start to walk in the identity that Christ has called you. You are a lender. God is making you higher than the system of mammon. Hallelujah. Are you understanding that? Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next thing I want to come to you is, how does a believer become rich and prosperous? How does a believer become rich and prosperous? Hallelujah. I think I need to stop here. Hallelujah. But the next thing I am going to come to is interesting. It's interesting. God wants you to be rich. But how will you become rich? The first thing you need to realize, you will become rich when you get rid of the desire to become rich. Crucify your desire to become rich. You will automatically, God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and automatically things will follow you. Hallelujah. You don't have to call in money, wait for things. Mammon will come to you. Mammon will come to you. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? So I will start off with that Sunday night. It's a very interesting subject. More than interesting and to excite you, I'm just telling you those things so that you will be here on Sunday night to listen to it, because it is going to help you. You cannot miss it. Hallelujah. And I encourage you, call your friends who are not there, call people to be there on Sunday night, because it people need to listen how to become rich in God, in God's ways. There are so many things that we need to learn about how to become rich in God. Hallelujah. Let's pray now. Father, we want to thank you for this time. I give you the praise, honor, and glory. Father, teach us your ways, O Lord. Help us to crucify ourselves. Lord, tonight I want to tell you, I am joyful and I am happy with whatever things you have blessed us with, Father, Lord. And Lord, I pray, even as the word is released, Lord, speak to your people in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us. Lord, mend our ways. Break the strongholds in our mind about many things that we thought it was so, but it was not, Father. Lord, we are lenders and not borrowers. Each person here is a lender and not a borrower, Father. In the name of Jesus, that they will submit to the altar of prayer. In the making of God, oh Lord, that they don't have to go here and there searching for food and searching for money. But everything, Lord, will follow them. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. Seek, seek, seek. The process of seeking is not one time. It's a long time process. It's a walk, a lifetime walk. Continue to seek him and you see how God richly blesses you, and there will be no yokes attached to it, no condition and no transactions that you have to do. God will bless you freely. God will make you rich and there will be no sorrows attached to it. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father, wherever we are with everything, Lord God, teach us to be content. Lord, teach us to be satisfied and praise you. That's why the Bible says, praise God, thank God in every situation, in every circumstance. Thank him. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabato, Zebana Kabonia. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your people. Every attack against their life, every snake spirits that I see, Lord, every spirits, every hold upon the relationship, every spirits, Lord, be bringing conflict in families, Lord, divisions in the families, I bind them right now in Jesus' name, Lord. Every hold, every curses against the establishment of the work of their hands, be broken in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God. Oh, Father, you root out every Egypt. You root out every lot from their lives. Wherever there is a separation needed, Lord, I pray that you will give your people, as you gave Abraham the wisdom to separate. I pray that you will give your people wisdom to separate. Until then, they will not see abundance in their life. Until they separate from Egypt, separate from Lot, separate from ancestral things, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we look at the smaller picture. We look at, oh, the big house, oh, this big land. But God, you want to show us the nations, Father. You want to show us the abundance of the sea coming to us and the wealth of the Gentiles coming to us. You want to show us that the kings and the queens shall come to us. Oh, hallelujah. And the nations shall bow down to the glory of God that is upon us. Hallelujah. That they will come to the brightness of our rising, O Lord God. In Jesus' name, I prophesy, Lord, that Lord Joseph's are rising once again in Jesus' name. The rising of Joseph, the way Joseph rose to authority will be re-implemented in some people's life, even as they learn your ways and submit to your doctrine and submit to your training humbly, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray every person, oh Lord, listening to this sermon, debts will be cancelled in their lives in Jesus' name. Debts will be cancelled in their lives in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, every lack, Lord, will be consumed. Not immediately, but even as they receive the word, walk in the word, they will see, Lord, lack consumed. They will see that they will no longer be a borrower, but a lender, Father, a giver, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, they will walk in the supernatural, even as they go through the training school of the Spirit and the teachings of the Word of God. Hallelujah. I give you the praise, Father. Lord, I break every hold, every dryness, every darkness that holds the minds of people. Break that in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let your word excite that spirit, that they will shout amen, that they will receive thy word. They will be attentive to thy word in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Once again, I give you the praise. Hallelujah. I want to give you the praise, Father. This platform, Lord, every person here, the ministry, I give into your hands, Father. You bless us, Father. Oh, Lord, that the gospel of the kingdom will be reached out to the ends of the earth, Lord. Hallelujah. That salvation will not be only for individual, but it will hit territories. It will hit nations, cities, and villages. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. We cover all of us with the blood of Jesus Christ, and we give you the praise, honor, and glory, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.